Hey, it's Friday, and you survived another week of the Trump administration. You know, I say that sometimes jokingly. This week, I'm maybe not joking that so much. It's been one of those weeks. I think the Time magazine cover that showed Donald Trump year one with his hair on fire pretty much sums up the last 48 hours here. And it just continues to get weird. How weird are the times that we live in? The Wall Street Journal is reporting that lawyers for Donald Trump paid off a porn star named Stormy Daniels just before the election to buy her silence about an alleged sexual encounter Trump had with her in 2006. And that's not even the top story of the day. There's a bigger S storm blowing through Washington, D.C., and it's also centered around President Trump. You've heard about it. We're going to open the phones for your comments on it. But first, we're going to talk about it with Ellen Ratner from Talk Media News. Hi, Ellen. How are you doing today?
How are you doing? Well, you know, I have to say that the porn star that settled with Trump for, what, $120,000 or something like that, why didn't he go for a lot more money?
You know, and well, that's inflation. I think. Well, hold it. No, that was 2016. You're correct.
Right.
So,
I would have gone for $500,000.
And you know what? I wonder how Donald Trump is reporting that on his taxes. We don't know.
We can't see his tax statement, so how would we know?
We don't know. We don't know. And as I said, that's not even the biggest story of the day. I mean, it's still shocking, and I think any other day it would be. But the story that's been rocking Washington, D.C. and everything has been Trump's comments yesterday, and saying the word I can't say on the radio, we'll just say S-hole, referring to African countries about them being that kind of a place and that he doesn't want those people here. And that has just rocked
too,
D.C.
Well, and I have to tell you, you know, I have a nonprofit. I work in South Sudan, which is in the middle of Africa. My nonprofit is Goats, plural for the old goat, if anybody wants to give us a goat, goats, plural for the old goat.com. But we have several medical students that we're putting through medical school. Two are in St. George's in Grenada, and one of them is a lost boy. United States brought in about 2,500 lost boys, and one of them was a lost girl whose first day she didn't speak a word of English was 9/11. In Michigan, that was after she was brought from Kakuma, which was the refugee camp. Now, these people had no education, they had no nothing, and now they're in medical school. So how are you going to determine who are the right people to bring in?
It's easy. You just look at the color of their skin and where they're from. I mean, that's how it works with Donald Trump.
I've never seen anything so amazing in my life, and these students are going to help their country.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I just I wish that story was something that Donald Trump took to heart, but obviously, or at least maybe not so obviously, he doesn't. So
it's staggering to me that that he made that comment. Now he said that he was harsh, but he didn't use that particular word that we cannot even say on the radio, or else we'd get ourselves in trouble with the FCC. But it is interesting that Tim Ryan, who is the Speaker of the House, basically condemned Trump for it. So if Tim Ryan, who's the Speaker of the House, did it, he must have heard from somebody that it actually happened. He didn't deny it.
Paul Ryan, right. Yes. I think Paul Ryan.
Tim Ryan, the great state of Ohio. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Paul Ryan, I think he used the term.
I get them confused.
He used the term very unfortunate. Has he come out? That was pretty weak tea. Has he come out with a more solid rebuke of Trump since that very unfortunate statement?
No, that's all he said. And, you know, it's Friday evening in Washington, D.C. I'm sure he's not going to say more.
Yeah, because it's not very unfortunate. It's just very racist. That's what it is. Very unfortunate is when I spill coffee on my suit. That was very racist.
You know how the women in Hollywood now have this Time's Up thing? Well, you know, when I grew up, there was a lot of racism. And I remember when the first African-American family moved into the area in Cleveland I lived in, everybody was all up in arms. Now nobody would even think about it. But the fact is that time is up. Time has changed. We are a multicultural, multiracial society right now. We don't have segregation. It's just crazy.
I want to roll back to Trump's denial, which was really vague. And it can't stand up that he's saying, well, I didn't say those words, because Senator Richard Durbin today, the Democrat who was in that meeting, said, I heard him say those words many times over, repeatedly, with, you know, and was hateful. And I just can't see how this administration can try to deny that.
Well, what they're doing is they're denying it, but they're denying it in a funny kind of way by him saying he was strong, but he didn't say that word in particular. Well, okay. I'll even give him the benefit of the doubt saying he didn't say that word in particular, even though I think he did. And what did he say then? Why not come out and tell us what you said, Mr. President?
What has this done to the immigration talks? I mean, let's go back to substance here over the bluster just for a moment, because the whole intent of that meeting was to try to get an agreement on DACA and immigration. Has this just blown everything up?
Well, it doesn't look like there's going to be an agreement because the wall is also in the way. And the issue is whether there's going to be money for a wall, whether the Democrats are going to agree with it, with DACA. But, you know, as I think I might have said the other day, is that I happened to be in the Senate chamber on the Saturday morning, the 18th of December, 2010, when five Democrats voted against what was then called the Dreamer Act. So, you know, they've all of a sudden gotten religion, but some of the Dems aren't so great on this issue myself.
No, they're not. And that's unfortunate on that side. I mean, it's great that we are moving that direction, but that's politics. Trump's comment today, it has, you know, I'm going back to what Paul Ryan said here for a minute. Yeah, very unfortunate. And I've heard other people, you know, earlier today here on Tom Hartman and other kind of defending Trump. Is this basically another
Trump on Tom Hartman's show?
Well, it was, you know, a caller, somebody calling in the Tom Hartman show.
Oh, okay, because Tom wouldn't put up with that. He's one of my closest friends.
Yeah, but, and he didn't, but, you know, he was calling him out, and basically he was calling him out for basically being racist. And he was saying anybody that, you know, stands by the statement, you know, passively, even actively, is a racist. This is really, is this another way of Trump trying to just play to a racist base, or is this Trump just going off the rails and this just happens to play to the racist base?
Well, I don't think Trump is a controlled human being. I think, you know, there is the Goldwater Rule, and I'm not a member of the American Psychiatric Association, so I speculate.
Yep.
What you do is you have somebody, you know, when somebody says whatever might be running through their mind, it's usually a frontal lobe issue. And I know he's having his physical today, but my guess is they're not going to be checking that part out.
Yeah, that would... I think a lot of, I think the APA or a number of psychologists have asked that be part of the physical, is that he have a mental evaluation, and it'd be great if they are, but that, as you said, that's not going to happen.
Definitely not going to happen, because that would involve cognitive testing, et cetera. The president is not going to sit down in a room and have cognitive testing, I can tell you that much. First of all, he doesn't have that much concentration or time.
I mean, we have seen...
And I say no concentration.
we have seen time after time, especially in the last couple of weeks, where Trump just doesn't seem to comprehend what he is talking about. We saw that with FISA earlier this week. We saw it just recently here with the British visit that was canceled. He was blaming Obama for what happened with the embassy, and that was really Bush who did that. It just seems like he fires off without even caring about what the facts are.
Well, that's right. I mean, the London embassy was started under Bush. It's true that Obama had some weigh-in on that, but you don't cancel a trip to London when you're supposed to be dedicating the embassy because you don't like what supposedly the last president or presidents have done.
I mean, this is really Donald Trump just trying to avoid the protesters in Britain, is the way I read this.
Well, yes, and also he has had conflict with Theresa May, who's the prime minister. Remember, he tweeted out those horrible things that had not been verified by, you know, supposedly by these ISIS types. I mean, the guy just, he reacts, and then sometimes he settles down, but sometimes he doesn't.
And then he doesn't always we've talked about this before. He doesn't always do what he says he's going to do. The latest here being, I think, thankfully, is the Iran nuclear deal. He is waiving sanctions on them again, despite saying that he's not let that happen.
Right. Now, what basically has happened is, and I heard this from Bob Ney, former congressman. He does radio for us. He went to jail, but he was the only member of Congress that spoke Farsi, which is the language that they speak in Iran, so he really understands what's going on there. And he says that he thinks actually Trump's position is going to help the protesters. The problem is, as he says too, is that Trump said this is going to be the last extension that he does.
And if what happens if he doesn't extend it? What then goes on with Iran?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Tillerson obviously weighed in very heavily with the president on this. He's the Secretary of State. I don't know enough about the Iranian politics. I can get you Bob Ney on if you ever need it. He's very good and knows Iranian politics extremely well. He's the one that said, we can try and stop them from developing a nuclear weapon, but they're going to do it under the streets of Tehran. And he's probably right about that.
I want to jump back to the thing we were just kind of joking about here at the very beginning, which is it's no joking matter, but it's the whole adult star payoff here that Donald Trump's lawyer arranged just before the election, paying $130,000 to a former adult star, adult film star, I should say. Something like that normally would just kill a political career, but today it gets buried on page 2 or page 3. And this was happening just after he got married. I think he married Melania Trump in 2005.
He was already married to Melania, who's the first lady of the United States. When supposedly this took place, she got $130,000 in a quiet settlement. Now, what I don't understand is why she didn't ask for more. She probably could have gotten $500,000. And he was running for president, and he didn't want this out, it looks like. Now, how the Wall Street Journal discovered this, I don't know. I'd love to find out, and I'm sure we'll find out in the next day or two. But it's very interesting that they are now publishing this. Wall Street Journal is not exactly a left-wing publication.
No, it's not. It's not. And the woman's name here is Stormy Daniels. That's her stage name. I think her proper name is Clifford, I believe, Stephanie Clifford. And
that's correct.
From what I understand, she's denying this, or what do you understand on that?
Well, she's denying it, but of course, if she got the $130,000, that was part of the deal, that she would deny that it ever happened. But what we don't know is whether she's denying that she ever got the $130,000. That is going to be the question. If they can prove that she got that money, she can deny it till the cows come home, it's not going to make a big difference.
It is not. Obviously, that story is going to continue to play out, but I think it may just play second fiddle here. I don't know, second fiddle to the whole S-hole story that continues to Republicans themselves are just some of them. I was listening to Eric Paulson here today. He's the representative from Minnesota, and he was on another radio station. You know, he was at the same time condemning what Trump said, but immediately pivoting the conversation to, well, we need to get this solved. We need to get this solved. And he just kind of wanted to ignore what this really says about the Republican Party and about how Donald Trump is dealing with this. I mean, if you've got that at the top of the ladder when you're trying to do an immigration bill, I don't think you're ever going to get anything done.
Well, not only that the president supposedly said, you know, we need more people like Norwegians come in here. But why would a Norwegian want to come to the United States when things are great in Norway for them?
Exactly. And if you've seen pictures from Norway, not all Norwegians are the typical, you know, lily white picture you have. Norway it does have a significant black population.
Well, not only that, there's the Sami population in Norway, which I actually was able to interview the Samis, and they're like Native Americans.
It's going to be interesting.
You know, there's a whole different world out there, but Norway does take care of its own. in ways that sometimes even the United States doesn't take care of itself.
No, I think there's a lot we can learn from Norway. Definitely. Ellen, we got to run. Ellen Ratner from Talk Media News.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you being with us today. We are going to take a break, folks, here, but when we get back, I want your thoughts. Obviously, the big story of the last 24 hours here, Donald Trump's comments, the S-hole nation comment. What do you think that means? Do you think Donald Trump is a racist? Is this definite proof? Your thoughts coming up here next, 952-946-6205.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600.
Welcome back to the Mike McKenzie Show, 952-946-6205. We are opening up the phone lines here because I want to hear what you think. And realize, please, that we can't say that word, the S word, here on our radio station. But I want to hear what you have to think, what you think about Donald Trump's comments and what that means. I mean, in my view, it's simply, you know, it's simply saying that racist stuff is okay as long as it works politically. That seems to be what Donald Trump is doing here. I'd like your thoughts. Again, 952-946-6205. Julie from Minneapolis is first up here. Hey, Julie.
Yeah, before I say, well, I'll say first, I think it's pretty obvious everything is calculated, but I want to throw out there something that Norman Goldman said a few days ago. He was, well, not, it was just the other day. He was laughing when he heard this, and he said, you know, he talks just like my father, and Norm grew up in New York, and his father, you know, was obviously living in New York all his life. And his father, he said, was a real working class guy. And so this kind of language was the kind of language that he heard his father talk. And he was saying, obviously the president grew up in New York City, and he's very familiar with the lingo of what he calls the working class. Yeah, I think it's very calculated. It's not an accident that it's a couple of days before Martin Luther King Day that he's throwing red meat to his base and making racist comments. And that's to please his base. I mean, I've heard people on the radio call up on right-wing stations saying, well, that's the way everybody feels, you know, like... So, and it's also calculated that the attorney came out and talked about paying off a porn star because that will... they hope, throw the media onto that next story since this, you know, got a lot of blowback. And I suspect those two instances are to defray from people thinking about something else that's going on. But I think it's all calculated, and I'll do what you think, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. All right. Julie, thank you so much. 952-946-6205. I'm asking the simple question. Do you think Donald Trump is a racist? Does this prove it beyond a doubt, or are you giving him the benefit of the doubt? Who's up next here? Tim from St. Joe is up next. Hi, Tim. Hello. Let's see if we can get to Tim here. Hello, Tim.
Yeah, I don't think Donald Trump's comments are racist.
Okay. Tell me why.
Well, if a black person advocates for black people or a woman advocates for women, that's fine. Why isn't it okay for a white man to advocate for white men?
This isn't advocating for white men. This is saying that a whole nation of people are, you know, an asshole. That's not advocating for you. That's putting down the other side. That's putting down somebody. That's not advocating, Tim. Don't you think that's racist?
Okay, well, why is it wrong to want people coming into this country that are capable, qualified, and ready to hit the ground running?
Right. Well, that's perfectly fine, but taking an entire nation and saying that they're not worthy. I mean, can you say that everybody in Wisconsin's not worthy and paint it that way? I mean, there's a few people you don't like from Wisconsin, but that you don't do it that way. That's essentially what's happening here. Don't you see that, Tim?
Well, what I see is that you need to call a spade a spade. I mean, if a black man is seven times more likely to murder someone than a white man is, isn't it okay
Tim,
that they're more likely?
Tim, you're changing the subject. We're talking about Donald Trump. We're talking about Donald Trump and racism. I'm not quite sure what that has to do with anything.
And that's not true what he said anyways.
It's not true, but I don't, even if
what's
it were true, I don't,
it, what's
and
not
Brett,
true?
Brett, you can explain that, but if it, tell me what you're saying has anything to do with Donald Trump. Hello, Tim. Did we lose Tim? Okay. All right, 952-946-6205 if you want to weigh in this question. And again, I'm just raising the basic question here. We had Donald Trump take and paint an entire set of nations, not just African, but other nations, as S-hole nations, as, you know, basically saying they're not worthy, we don't want them. Why would we want, I mean, he said, why would we want more Haitians here? Well, they're, first off, this entire country has been built upon immigrants, and that's kind of, you know, kind of what we stand for. And the whole idea of bringing in, you know, people say, well, you shouldn't have, quote, chain migration. I think Senator Durbin, pointed out to him that term, chain migration, is really, really offensive to black people, because Africans were brought here to this nation in chains. And he said, oh, hey, that's a good line. At least that's according to what Durbin said about Trump. So it is, Donald Trump is tone deaf on a lot of this stuff. I think that we can all agree on. But is he a racist? I want to hear what you have to say. Brenda from Carver is on the line, wants to weigh in on that. Hello, Brenda.
Hi. I've never called your show before, but I've called other shows that run on AM 950. And, you know, I've heard some people like your previous caller call in. They are as dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to humanity. I mean, I've been to some countries like Jamaica and, you know, Mexico. Mm-hmm. And there are people all over the world that are bad people, but most of the people around the world are good people. And whether or not they have money like people here in this country, you know, it's definitely true. They don't have it like we do. But if given the opportunity, like Ellen Ratner said, these people can turn out to be doctors and lawyers and just like anybody here in this country. He is a narrow-minded, bigoted person himself.
Okay. Brenda, thank you for your comments. 952-946-6205. We'll take another couple of phone calls on this. Elias from Minneapolis is on the line. Hello, Elias.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Well, we don't have to go into debate about this guy. We already know what do you say what do you say about the Mexican, you know, what do you say about the black? But I just want to go back to the guy from St. Johnson. The guy who called himself is a racist. Talking about, a black man has seven times. And so that guy, I don't know, Donald Trump, that's the business that Donald Trump want to talk to. That's his thing. This is what he's talking about. This is the people that he's trying to motivate.
I agree with you 100%. That's who he's trying to reach. Does that make him a racist?
We don't have to debate. The guy's already, we already know. But how long we can take this one? It's not about just, blacks. But he's talking about bad about the Jews. He's talking about bad about, Mexicans. He's talking about bad everybody who doesn't have nothing. For him, it's just, there's something wrong mentally. But there are people, no matter what Donald Trump says, they worship him.
Mm-hmm. No, I think Donald Trump.
We can do this one. We have to educate people about what this country is. The guy said we have to advocate for whites. This country, there was no whites. It was a native. This is America. This is Minnesota. Look the name of Minnesota. It's not an English name. It's not a Norwegian name. It's a native name. Everybody came sometime, somewhere, someday. People came yesterday, some people came 1880, some people came 19, whatever. But people don't realize. They think they own this country. They think, my dad came from and somewhere, so this is only my country.
I think you're hitting it right on the head there, is that this is all of our country. This is something we're all in together, and it's going to get better when we work together instead of when we're hating on each other. And when we introduce into the conversation.
But that's what I like about, having a conversation. Let's talk about it. And the more we talk about it, the better we'll be. And there are people who never went outside, maybe that, like my friend over there from St. John. Maybe he never went outside from St. John. He was born and raised over there. He never met a black or Latino, whatever. The more we talk to each other, the more we educate about everybody's culture, maybe people, will open. This is 2018, and we talked about color.
Yep. I agree with you. Thank you, Elias. We're going to keep moving on here because I want to get a couple more folks in, and then we've got to get to some other topics. But I believe Jay from Minneapolis is up next. Hey, Jay.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yourself? Oh, we lost Jay there. I am sorry.
Jay, call back if you were there.
Jay, call back. I'm sorry about that. Alex here, though, is on the line. Hi, Alex. You're up next. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi there. Thank you. I just want to say this. When you were talking about the chain migration, I think what he meant by that was the fact that people come in, they bring their mom, their dad, their uncle, their aunt, and all the extended family. That's what it means by chain migration.
Right. Hang on.
Other countries that, like El Salvador or Haiti, we have to look at the history of the United States and what U.S. government has done throughout years and decades to a lot of these countries. And if these people end up coming here, somebody lets them to come here. They come here. We're not talking about just crossing the border. And bottom line is that U.S. government is not exactly innocent. And I think people need to be conscientious of that fact, that a lot of Americans are not aware of this fact, that the U.S. government is not exactly a nice government. They all think that everyone in the world wants to come here. Everyone wants to, take everything America has. That is not true. It's the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's. Mark, Alex, thanks for your comment on that. I wanted to get Jay in here real quick here before we get to the break because we had Jay on earlier and we accidentally cut him off. So let's cue up Jay. Hey, Jay, I'm sorry we cut you off there. We had a little button push, but go ahead.
No problem, Mike. Yeah, no problem. So, the problem is basically, I don't think it's just Trump alone problem. It's a problem with the Archie Bunker mentality. I'm an immigrant. I migrated here a while back. I am one of the 43% that has a bachelor's degree or higher. Actually, I have an MBA. I came to this country, migrated here legally. I worked two jobs, put myself through college, and I have been paying taxes, contributing to this country more than a lot of white males that work in this country. The problem that I see persists right now is I'm not saying every white man, but a large sector of the white male population, they're angry. They feel like they're losing the country, that the country is getting away from them. And you see that in corporate America, in the corporate world, they feel entitled. They feel like basically like they can get promotion even if they don't deserve it. They don't have to work for it. You look at the Congress, you look at the Senate, most of the Senate is full of white males. The same thing with Congress. And a lot of them get those positions without not even the necessary qualification. That's the reason why they're behaving the way they're behaving. Donald Trump is an epitome, an example of a white male privilege that's happening in this country today. Because I can guarantee you this, if Barack Obama had behaved one-tenth of the way Donald Trump has behaved, he would have been impeached in office. There's no doubt about it. And it's basically today, I'm sitting here as an African, as an African who basically migrated and contributed, pisses me off.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, Jay, you got to that word that we couldn't say, but I get your point there. Thank you so much on that point. I tell you what, folks, that's where we got to wrap it up. Jay's got the last word on that. We got to move on. But up next, thousands of U.S. citizens may be losing their citizenship and could possibly be deported. That's U.S. citizens. It's another move by the Trump administration that will have you shaking your head. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, this week's Art Beat with Lori Fitz.
This is Art Beat for the week. I'm Lori Fitz from Connections Radio Show, and we have some great Twin Cities events coming up. One Voice Mixed Chorus presents Sanctuary. This moving concert explores the music of immigrants to Minnesota, from early Scandinavian immigrants to African Americans arriving through the Underground Railroad, and more recently, music of Hmong, Mexican, and Somali communities. Several contemporary songs describe the experience of LGBT people struggling for a place of belonging and finding a home through both biological and chosen family. This concert is in collaboration with Green Card Voices, which has collected stories of youth immigrants. These youth storytellers are featured throughout the concert, and Green Card Voices photos and stories will be displayed in both venues. Sanctuary at Ordway Concert Hall performs January 19th at 7:30 p.m. and January 21st at 3:30 p.m. Also, there's a free concert on January 13th at 7:30 p.m. at Faith Mennonite Church, 2720 East 22nd Street in Minneapolis. For more information, go to onevoicemn.org. Do you have kids that are getting cabin fever and you want to take them out to someplace fun? Consider Stages Theater and their production of Leo Leone's Frederick, running from January 19th through February 19th. Adapted by Suzanne Maynard Miller, music and lyrics by Sarah Durkee and Paul Jacobs, and directed by Marilee Mailer. And this show is for all ages. The play gives you a chance to cozy in this winter for a heartwarming story of Frederick, as he shows us that everyone has something special to give to the world. While other mice are gathering food for the winter, Frederick daydreams the summer away. When the cold weather sets in, however, it is Frederick who has stored up something significant to survive the long, blustery winter. The Caldecott-winning book by beloved author Leo Leone has been charming readers for over 50 years. Now this award-winning adaptation, featuring the roots-flavored country and folk-infused score, will delight the heart and tickle the imagination. Runtime, approximately 1 hour with no intermission. For tickets, go to stagestheater.org. And if you want the fun of storytelling and live bluegrass accompaniment, consider the Jungle Theater's production of Ishmael, running January 13th through February 4th. Adapted by Leo Getter and directed by Leo Getter, this 2015 Minnesota Fringe Festival is a favorite. The show explores a country school teacher named Ishmael as he signs on to a whaling trip with a captain he's never met. Drawing freely from Herman Melville's classic novel, Moby Dick, a shape-shifting actor and three bluegrass musicians conjure a funny, thoughtful, harrowing tale of one man's drive to see the world. Pertner Sandstone is the bluegrass band, and they are outstanding. Tickets can be purchased by going to jungletheater.com. Lastly, for a powerful drama, Park Square Theater's Cardboard Piano hits it out of the park and into your heart, running January 19th through February 18th. Cardboard Piano is by Hansel Jung and is directed by Signe V. Haraday. This is a Midwest premiere exploring if our capacity for love is greater than violence. Set in northern Uganda, the daughter of an American missionary and a local teenage girl steal into a candlelit church to exchange vows in a secret wedding ceremony. But when an escalating civil war encroaches on their fragile union, they cannot escape its reach. Confronting the cost of intolerance, this powerful drama examines violence, the struggle to rebuild, as well as the human capacity for love and forgiveness. There is an audience advisory. This play contains gunshots, strong language, and adult content. To buy tickets for Cardboard Piano, go to parksquaretheater.org. That's Art Beat for the Week. I'm Laurie Fitz from Connections Radio Show, airing live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Danny Ziegler, and my family's restaurant, Our Kitchen, has been located off 36th Street between Aldrich and Bryant for 76 years. Stop in and you'll enjoy some of the most delicious comfort food around. Our made-from-scratch breakfast and lunch dishes like French toast, eggs, and hamburgers will be made right in front of you. And don't miss our award-winning pancakes and hash browns, too. Our Kitchen is open weekdays from 6:30 to 3, weekends 7 to 2, and enjoy our pleasant outdoor seating, weather permitting. Learn more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hello, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday as I help you make sense of the issues of the day with some much-needed wit. Today on the show, while everybody is chasing Donald Trump's latest incendiary statement so bad you can't even say it on the radio, we're still focused on the drama. The dreamers have drama, and we're going to see if we can resolve it today. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Welcome back to the Mike McEntee Show. You've heard how the Trump administration is planning to deport thousands of immigrants from El Salvador who are here as refugees from natural disasters. But what you may not have heard is the Trump administration may also revoke the citizenship of thousands of people who are naturalized citizens, making them potentially subject to deportation. It's called Operation Janus, and Rewire's immigration reporter Tina Vasquez has been following the story and joins us now to talk about it. Welcome to the program, Tina.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So let's start with the very basics here. What is Operation Janus?
Well, it initially started as sort of a counterterrorism operation going way back to 2008 when a Customs and Border Protection agent found that there were a little over 200 people who were able to obtain citizenship despite not having their fingerprints in the system. And also they came from countries that the United States considered to be of concern to national security. And so that information got passed along through the Department of Homeland Security for years, and different sort of working groups and investigative units had the information. And then for whatever reason, you know, that was disbanded. That sort of initial group was, they stopped doing Operation Janus in 2016. And then for whatever reason, you know, earlier this week, the Department of Justice announced that it had successfully denaturalized someone under an operation that was basically 10 years old and had been disbanded for over a year.
So this is apparently a fingerprinting issue that's involved in this. Is this just bureaucracy gone amok, or is this what's going on here?
It's a couple of things. Technically, yes, it is a fingerprinting issue. Immigration and Customs Enforcement found over 300,000 cases in which fingerprints weren't entered into their database. So these were like the system that used to exist was sort of keeping records on note cards, essentially. A lot of those weren't digitized when the Department of Homeland Security was formed after 2002. So all of these records that weren't digitized sort of existed, and then they found that some of these people were able to obtain naturalization, and there were some odd issues. The three men that we're seeing prosecuted now for denaturalization, so their fingerprints were missing, and they found that they had naturalized using different names than they originally had, and they also had deportation orders.
So that's a limited number of people we're talking about, but what we're talking about here really is this could be used against thousands of people. I mean, these are people who are United States citizens that have been U.S. citizens for decades, correct?
Yeah, it's really concerning. So this will impact people who were naturalized before 2010 when they began digitizing all fingerprints. So the three men that are being prosecuted now for denaturalization, they've been citizens for over a decade, all of them. And what's concerning, Muslim Advocates, an organization, I believe, based in California, filed a Freedom of Information Act request today because their concern is that because this was a counterterrorism measure, that this will focus on Muslim Americans. Baljinder Singh, so the man that was denaturalized, that's his name, there's nothing in his past that indicates that he had a criminal record. So he may have lied about the name that he used. He might have changed his name. There are a number of different issues that would have made it so that he didn't use his original name, which is the case with him. But we don't know any of that information at all. Mm-hmm. And what's concerning is, like, you would think that the Justice Department would want to highlight people who had criminal records or who were misleading the Department of Homeland Security or other immigration agencies for nefarious reasons. But that's not the case with the three men that are being highlighted right now. None of them have criminal records. They all obtained citizenship by marrying a U.S. citizen. They haven't committed crimes since being citizens. There's nothing that indicates criminality in any way. So it's really unclear while they're targeting these people for very, very minimal violations, which is, you know, reapplying for citizenship or reapplying paperwork using a different name. That's the gist of what they're being targeted for.
Okay, so again, those are three people, but this may lead to to thousands of people, though, according to the DHS, being having their citizenship revoked. How the heck does that happen?
Well, because of the crossover with the fingerprints, because so many people were missing fingerprints in the system at the time that they were naturalized, ICE identified over 300,000 people in which that's the case. And we know that U.S. Citizen and Immigration Services, or USCIS, that they have given over 1,000 cases to the DOJ for prosecution. So in the immediate months, we could see who knows how many cases emerge. We know that two more are in the pipeline, but given that USCIS, which is very unusual for them to work with other agencies for the purpose of enforcement, they've handed over 1,000 names. And if this becomes a trend under the Trump administration, which the legal experts that I spoke to suspect that it will, in the coming months, we could see hundreds of these cases.
Wow. Is it certain that these folks will lose their citizenship? Do they have any recourse?
So what happens is, for 99% of people, you're reverted back to the status that you were before you were naturalized. And that, for a lot of people, 99% of people, that would be a lawful permanent resident. And so the trouble with that is they could reapply for citizenship. The chances of them being able to obtain citizenship under this administration after having gone through this does not seem likely. And because lawful permanent residents don't have the same protections that naturalized citizens do, that means that they could be subject to deportation. So while technically they could reapply for citizenship, what advocates fear is that the Department of Homeland Security will then denaturalize them and then deport them.
I mean, as we've heard here, we've been talking about this all day, Donald Trump's comments about immigrants, especially from certain countries, and making derogatory comments like that, has certainly, and what the administration has been doing about immigration has made it very, very difficult for people who are here legally or not to continue to be in this country. When he makes comments like we've heard here, in the last 24 hours, what does that do to the entire immigration system? How does that play out?
I mean, it's more than troublesome. You know, this is a man that announced that he was running for president by calling Mexicans rapists and drug dealers. So he started off in a way that seemed very racist to us. It was overt racism to many of us. But there were a lot of excuses made for his behavior. And with comments like this, there's no denying that he seeks to ban or deport black and brown immigrants. He's made attacks not just on people who are here without documentation, which he promised to do, which we knew would happen, but we're seeing him attack DACA. We're seeing him end TPS for countries like Haiti and El Salvador. El Salvador is one of the deadliest countries in the world. Haiti has had multiple natural disasters, and it's not in a position to take back 50,000 people and their children should they choose to take them back. So these are just attacks on communities of color, and communities of color have been telling us that these are racist attacks, that these are anti-immigrant attacks. And after those comments that were made, I don't think that there's any disputing that anymore.
And a lot of folks are saying that these comments that Donald Trump has made, as you said, are racist, but also that they're there to play to his base, his political base. The question being, is there, does anybody see any kind of differentiation between trying to play to a political base and what Donald Trump actually does? And is because what Donald Trump says and what the Trump administration does is sometimes two very different things. Is there any difference between what he's saying and what he's doing here?
I mean, I think it would be hard to argue that, especially when you have to consider that, you know, there are groups that are considered anti-immigrant hate groups, and their former leaders now exist in the White House. And you see people like Stephen Miller sort of trumpeting these organizations, using their studies and reports to dictate policy. A lot of what you see emerging from the Trump White House are just talking points that these anti-immigrant hate groups have been sort of circulating in their reports and studies for a long time. You know, I think if you can still look at Donald Trump's campaign website, he cites organizations like FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, which is the Southern Poverty Law Center has deemed an anti-immigrant hate group. So all of this was in the mix from the very beginning. And if it takes comments like he's made to make that clear to people that these are racist policies that they seek to discriminate against black and brown immigrants, I guess that's what it takes, is this sort of overt racism. But the policies and the executive orders that we've seen in the past year, you know, communities of color have been telling us that he is a racist. And now I just don't know how that could be argued against.
We've been speaking with Tina Vasquez, who is the immigration reporter for Rewire. You can find more of what she writes over at rewire.news. Tina, thank you so much for your time today on The Story.
Thank you for having me.
One Voice Mixed Chorus, Minnesota's LGBTA chorus, returns to the Ordway Concert Hall for Sanctuary, an unforgettable evening of choral music celebrating the music of immigrants who make Minnesota home, including Scandinavian, German, Irish, Mexican, Hmong, and Somali. One Voice will also perform You Will Be Found for Broadway's Dear Evan Hansen and I Come From Good People. That's at the Ordway Concert Hall Friday, January 19th and Sunday, January 21st. Call 651-224-4222 or check out onevoicemn.org for tickets today. Fact is, it's January in Minnesota and we spend a lot more time indoors. And we're breathing a lot of dry indoor winter air. But don't worry, Standard Heating has the solution. If you install a new furnace this January, you'll not only stay warm and comfortable, you'll also get your choice of a free air purifier or humidifier. Oh, and Standard Heating also offers 0% interest and $0 down on approved credit. Suddenly, this winter doesn't look so bad. Find out more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Moe's Tax Service on Ford Parkway in St. Paul has been preparing tax returns since 1971. They're one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the country, with a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts. Tax laws and forms are always changing, and you need someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Visit www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S tax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026. Moe's Tax Service. They work for you, not the IRS.
I'm Johnny Weir.
And I'm Tara Lipinski.
Entenmann's is celebrating their 120th birthday in a big way with their I Sing on the Cake sweepstakes. Go to Entenmann's120birthday.com to enter for a chance to win some really great prizes.
Now, if you sing happy birthday to Entenmann's using the hashtags Entenmann's120 and hashtag promotion, you get a second entry for the prizes. And Entenmann's will make a donation to the Give the Note Foundation to support music education in schools.
120 years.
Who doesn't love Entenmann's?
Happy birthday to you!
There's books that have been written years ago that commented that Donald Trump was an extreme racist, that when he entered the floors of his casinos and his businesses, you know, he had all of the African-American people moved out of his sight line. He did not want African-American, and these are direct quotes, he did not want African-American people counting money in his casino. He referred to African-Americans as being lazy, and you know who they are. And these are all comments that are verbatim on the record in books in existence. Now, what I want to know is, where was CNN and MSNBC and all of the news media that failed to report what existed in the public domain about this guy's past? And is anybody surprised that Donald Trump is a racist? And again, What I'm saying is that, you know, we're going to spend the entire weekend now focusing on this one, you know, component that everybody already knows. And pay attention to what's going on behind the scenes. And again, in closing, what I'd like to say is I am just as infuriated at this commentary and, again, how this makes us look for the rest of the world.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mark. Hey, we are done for today. We are back on Monday. It's MLK Day, but we're still here with a live show. I'll be back. Hey, Mom, thanks for listening. We'll see you Monday.